Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't. And where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone, and we have a great show tonight. We've got Augusto Perez with us. We've got Larry with us. A lot of weird things happening in the world around us, and I don't know exactly where we should start, but it's just kind of weird events that are happening. And I wanted to read a few scriptures here before we get going. Isaiah 66:4. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Maybe we should start that one off with that one. Where do we want to go with this whole thing? Let's start with the shutdown of the solar observatory. Augusto, I'm sure you've heard about it. What was your take on all this and all the other webcam shutdowns around the world?
Hey, Stuart, so good to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Well,
and being with Larry again. Well, this thing with the solar observatory shutdown is very strange. At first, when it first happened, of course, it happened first in New Mexico, that one there. And I thought maybe, you know, it had something to do with their, you know, with their high-tech secret projects that they have there. Nearby, because it was near that region there of Roswell and all, you know, where they have all those bases. Mm-hmm. But when the other solar observatories started shutting down in different parts of the world, that changed the equation for me. That's the totally different story now. That is something that every one of these people in all of these countries are apparently concerned about. And in many countries, I was reading here, you know, 6 more solar observatories have shut down. Mm-hmm. And they are basically given no indication as to why they're shutting down. Apparently, security reasons. But this is very strange. The only thing I can think of is that they have seen something through their powerful telescopes, because these are very powerful telescopes they used to look at the sun. They have been videos out there of a green circular door-like object at the center of the vortex wormhole there near the sun that is very strange looking, and there's a lot of different like spaceship-like objects that have been also videotaped, and not by these observatories, but by a person. Her name is Gina. That's the only one I've seen. I'm sure there's others out there that are going to start doing it. And she captured a lot of these things. She captured a huge object and then a fleet of smaller ones, UFOs. But these observatories, those telescopes are very powerful. So what could they have seen that just caused them to panic? And the FBI just go in there and shut them down, and then all these other ones in the world What did they see? What that is the question here. What has been seen by these observatories that caused them to shut down the observatories? And basically, they're mum. They're not saying anything. I think this is very, very disconcerting. And, you know, there's another piece of information here. On September 9, the NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory, SDO, saw two lunar transits as the moon. They say it's the moon, but we don't know, really.
Who knows?
The moon, yeah, they said the moon passed in front of the sun twice in different directions. And this was a very large object that covered portions of the sun. And, of course, the moon, we all know the moon does not change directions. And so it appears to be changing directions from the SDO's perspective. And so this is really very strange. And what was that object or the objects that crossed the sun and was captured through the SDO, the Solar Dynamics Observatory, by, you know, from NASA? What was that? What was that? And so I have a couple of theories, but I would like to hear what Larry's got to say about it, and you got to say about it too.
Yeah, Larry, what do you think about this whole thing?
I think I'm like Augusto. This is really strange. When I saw that and looked into it, and I immediately got with Stan Deo about it to see what he thought about this object, because it reminded me somewhat of the shape of the craft in either Independence Day or the movie V. And, of course, Stan has really, you know, basically read in the ancient language the Book of Daniel and where this goes, and really was very excited about an arrival for the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, and he's been sharing this. And when I saw this, I thought, well, there's two reasons possibly that they're shutting down the solar observatories. Basically, I knew that there was an opening on the sun that we're getting a stream of charged particles from, but that's no big deal. We do that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But then also I had heard over the last week that there's either a large sunspot group or a large sunspot on the other side of the sun rotating around towards us. And I thought, well, maybe they're going to shut them down to diminish the damage that they might face if something really comes off the sun. But, you know, when I looked at the video that this woman had, and it really absolutely looked compelling, I decided, well, you know, this looks like something out there coming our way, possibly, that's out here in our own solar system. And I began to wonder about shutting down of the observatories. Now, this is what really clued me in a little bit more yesterday. And I told you, Stuart, yesterday, Lou Dobbs on Fox Business Channel, who's a very sober, you know, reporter, he mm-hmm. actually reported that shutting all these down was very strange, and he actually contacted the FBI and wanted to know why was the FBI involved in shutting down Sunspot, you know, there in New Mexico, because was it terrorism related, or was it a threat, or was it something that was going on we don't know about? And what's interesting is what he said that their answer was, the FBI says, we're not going to talk about it, which means that they didn't say it's just a bunch of hooey or it's you know, just a conspiracy theory. They said, we're not talking about this. And they still have control of the observatory, and most of that observatory, from what I understand, is underground. And so
yes.
I have to go a little bit, and I appreciate your opinion too, Stuart, on this, because I go with Augusto. This is a mystery that they're shutting all these down across different parts of the planet in different countries, and it has to almost be, I would think, and this is just my theory, that they have spotted something they don't want the people on the planet to observe. But I'm not sure that it's not going to leak out anyway.
Well, yeah, I agree 100% that it's a very mysterious thing. And when, as Augusto said, when all the others shut down along with this one and Sunspot, you got a problem. And they do these kind of things, absolutely, when they don't want anybody to know about it. Not only was the FBI involved, they had black helicopters there. I guess the military was in on this shutdown. And when you look at the pictures, clearly you can see one very, very huge object. And you can even see the windows on the rim. It's a typical UFO. And it rises up and has a dome on top just like they do. Now, I don't know how you vet any of this stuff, so a lot of it is speculation that they have seen something they don't want anybody to know about. But I'd like to read something here. Thessalonians. No, this is Revelation. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now that is going to be a material arrival, as well as a spiritual arrival at the same time. Now, you may remember Obama. We got to get into that thing of the, how do I word this, the dark matter prophecy. Have you heard about that one, Augusto, the dark matter prophecy?
I believe I heard something about it, but I can't remember clearly right now.
Well, it concerned CERN. And if you remember, he posed as Kali, the destroyer, in the same pose that they have at CERN. It was on Time magazine where they added his extra arms. Kali represents the timekeeper as well as the destroyer. And also he constantly is winking and his tongue sticks out. And the other day he said, we don't need to wait for a Messiah and we don't need to wait for a Savior, indicating that he himself was standing before them and the wait was over. You may remember when he celebrated his birthday, he used the Lion King excerpt for his birthday, saying that he was the Lion King. I don't know if you remember that or not, but of course the Lion King's all about the rise of the Antichrist out of Africa, and of course he's part of Kenya. So anyway, the next one was, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming, or we could say the arrival, is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Isn't that kind of interesting that we have all these shutdowns and talk about the arrival? It's been, you know, open for quite a while among the Christian watchers anyway. What do you think about that being an arrival, or the possibility that we're watching an arrival taking place?
I think I have a theory on that, and I shared some of this with Larry earlier today. I believe that the powers that be, of course, they had everything planned. You know, they had the whole thing planned. They have been working on this for years, for decades, and they have been working on the New World Order, the global system, and they were really thinking and really sure that Hillary Clinton was going to win. And together with Obama, they were going to usher in this new world order and just basically nail this thing down. And when that didn't happen, of course, they started fighting against Trump, trying to get him out. First, trying to stop him from becoming president, you know, the whole story, the Electoral College, and they were trying to get them to vote against Trump, and, you know, and then something else, and then the Mueller probe and impeachment, and it's been one thing after another. And all the while they have been doing this, Trump has been dismantling their New World Order that they put together for decades. He
yes.
has been dismantling, taking it apart, piece by piece. And of course, he has dismantled all of Obama's legacy. If he, you know, the little legacy he had, he has dismantled it. So they are concerned right now. It seems like they're all of their plans are coming down. Now, of course, they're being threatened to be, you know, really taken to jail with all of these executive orders that Trump has written and all of these things going on. They are concerned. These people are concerned. There is an onslaught right now against Trump, you know, the smear campaigns, the newspapers, and the mainstream media, which they control. They're concerned. They are desperate. They're panicking. And so my theory is this. Maybe, you know, these people are in communication with the ETs. They have been for years. They
yes.
have been working together in underground military bases. We know that. There's been a lot of people that have talked about it, including Stan Deo and others, many others that are no longer with us. And so we know that has been going on. With the plans have been ongoing. And maybe my thinking is that these ETs, right, the fallen angelic entities, they're basically now basically saying, you know, we're supposed to, you know, be wrapping this thing up, and you guys are going backwards. And you know what's going on. You know, we need to get this done. And I guess they're putting pressure on the cabal, because
mm-hmm.
the cabal was hoping to rule in this upcoming New World Order. They were hoping to be seated at the table. They're ruling and reigning with these entities in the kingdom of the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently now their whole plan, all their plans are in shambles. So maybe this is the alien card, okay, their last attempt to usher in these, the aliens. And, you know, they were probably hoping to do this in a more sophisticated way, you know, with the Blue Beam project and this and that, and, you know, bring it in slowly and break it in slowly. And now probably they're out of options and they're out of time. And maybe, you know, I'm thinking, you know, that this is the only logical answer I can come up with, unless there's something else there that we don't know anything about. Because those UFOs, I mean, you saw them, Stuart. You saw them, Larry. They're there. They're real. And there's a lot of them. It's like an invasion force with this huge planet-like object, which it looks a lot like, of course, Nibiru. A lot of people have been saying that it could be a planet. And at the same time, it could be like a spaceship. One of those moons could be a spaceship, planet, whatever. So anyway, there's a lot of ifs and a lot of unknowns here. But the bottom line that I'm trying to say is maybe this is it. Maybe there is going to be an alien revelation of the alien card. You know, these entities being revealed, being ushered in, and it's going to come quickly. And this is maybe why they're panicking here. The solar observatories, they don't know what to do with this. You know, I just keep thinking, what have they seen through these solar observatories? You know, we need some of the amateur astronomers out there that have, you know, good, powerful telescopes to start zooming in on this same region to see if they can come up with, you know, something that is better quality than the videos that this lady, that she took.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Larry? You know, when Augusto was talking, I wondered, do you suppose they got a message? Or, you know, they're around there, Alamogordo and Roswell and what's that other place that, out there? They have deep, you know, the military, deep underground military bunkers, you could call them. Do you know, suppose that one broke through there under way deep underground? I mean, that's a possibility. Why would the military or FBI be involved in that particular one? Now, I don't know if they were in the other shutdowns, but it does seem to add a lot of elements of suspicion when you have six or more. We don't even know how many others where the webcams were shut down. So that people
there was a video.
A
video, Stuart. I don't know if you've seen this one yet, but it was captured on satellite of an object landing in that region.
Oh, really?
And I haven't been able to research it to confirm this, to make sure that it is not a hoax. But something was captured in that area, an object. An unidentified object landing in that region there. So there's a lot of stuff going on that too many questions and very little answers. And the way these people are acting, it's looking a lot like what happened at the Roswell, don't you think?
Yeah, and of course then we have a lot of vanishings of people. And you remember the Malaysian airline that vanished some time ago?
Right.
But they found it. It's intact, except for part of there's a space between the wings and the fuselage and the tail section. But I, having flown airplanes a lot, and I know what these airplanes look like, I'm quite sure that is the Malaysian airline. They're dispatching crews right now. My point is, how do you land in a jungle with the airplane intact, basically intact? Wings are still attached, tail sections not attached, but it's whole. You can see it. The fuselage is basically intact, except for one break. It sounds almost to me like it was dropped there. They had it on radar, basically, and then it vanished. What do you think, Larry?
Yes.
Well, it reminds me of some of the old Star Trek movies. Remember how they had a open bay where they could, by anti-gravity, if you will, with a tractor beam, as they called it, pull something up in it and remove people and then put it anywhere they wanted to put it. This is really, really strange. I mean, you know, what we're talking about tonight, a lot of people think, oh, my God, do they even know what they're talking about? But, you know, people don't realize how strange things really are. And one of the things, you know, that is so incredible is the fact that, you know, like Klaus Dohna, who has dug up a lot of the past, and, you know, and they dig up spark plugs, and they dig up, pieces of machines and carts. And different things. Before the flood, there was a technology. You know, I know everybody's taught that, we sat around with some rocks and a couple of sticks, and that's all we had till we created a wheel. But there was a whole lot more before that, and Stan does an incredible teaching and research on Atlantis. And he says it's real. He knows where it was, and he knows where it wound up, and it's quick frozen in Antarctica. But if we're dealing with a fallen angel technology, then people have to expand their mind just a little to understand what's out there bigger than you can imagine.
There are too many vanishings, and then we have alternative three and what they call batch consignments. We know we're on Mars. We know we're on the backside of the moon. And there's no question about that. Whatever, if you really study all this stuff, there, by two or more witnesses is a thing established, and we've got hundreds of witnesses about all this. It's just that it's kind of mind-bending, and so people just don't want to believe that it's true. I think it's all connected, however, with, as Augusto was saying, Project Bluebeam. We may be witnessing the beginnings of all of this. Who knows? Let me read this vision on dark matter, Augusto, and I want your comment on this, because this is really, really interesting. The Lord gave me a vision last month, but I have not felt to release it until he told me to do so today. Like most people, I had heard the term dark matter in the past, as it was mentioned in shows like Star Trek, etc., but I never paid much attention to it, was not familiar with its meaning, and had never looked into it or done any research on it. As with any dream, vision, or word, please pray over it and take it to the Lord to confirm it. Here's the vision. On August 8, 2018, during my time of prayer, I heard the Lord speak to me with the words, dark matter. First, I thought, well, what is that, dark matter? I continued to pray, but the Lord then repeated it several times. And I thought, Lord, why are you telling me this? Again, I continued on with praying, but after he repeated it a few more times, I felt to stop praying and listen to what he wanted to tell me. I sat down with my Bible and was drawn to the scriptures lifted above, which was, the vision will tarry, but wait for it, it shall surely come. So then, he let's see if I can, I kind of got off track here. What he wanted me to read, and he replied, yes, dark matter. As soon as he said that, I was instantly drawn into an open eye vision and taken to a location where I found myself standing directly in front of the statue of the goddess Shiva. Now, please everyone remember Obama on Time magazine posing exactly as that. That is in front of CERN. I felt the presence of the Lord to my side, and I asked him, what am I doing here? He then asked me, what do you see? I said, I see a false god named Shiva. And the Lord said to me, what does it represent? Not really being sure, I said, I think it represents chaos and destruction. He said, my son, you are correct. In a very short time from now, America will live this. I understood this to mean that America will be soon be living in chaos and destruction. I then asked the Lord, what about dark matter? I understand that America will live in chaos and destruction, so why are you saying dark matter? On asking that, I was immediately taken inside of the CERN building. And the Lord and I were standing at the back of a large room that looked like some type of laboratory. Directly in front of me on the other side of the room, I could see a man from the back, and he was standing and facing some type of glassed-in contained area. He had on a white lab coat, and his arms were inside of gloves that were inserted through the glass into the area. It looked like one of those precautionary areas that used to keep from getting exposure to some dangerous substance. Then the Lord brought me closer to the man so I could get a better view and observe what he was doing. I found myself standing just to the side, slightly behind the man, and was able to see through the glass wall and watched him while he was working. I saw many tiny silver-colored vials in rows in a container on the counter inside the glass. They looked to be about 1 inch high and a half inch in diameter. The man was using extreme caution as he worked. He used mechanical fingers to be very carefully picking up one vial at a time, placing it in a small box. He then closed and sealed the lid on the box and then slowly brought it through the glassed area, carefully placed it on a table beside him. I watched him do that a couple of times. Then with the next box, as he was pulling it out through the glass, the lid accidentally got caught and popped open. And with that, the vial flew out of the box, hit the floor, and broke. Immediately, and I mean immediately, the room filled with darkness. so dark and so fast that I could not see a thing. I can only say that it was almost like the darkness exploded in the room and filled the entire room in a fraction of a second. I could not see a thing. It was total pitch black darkness. If you've ever been in a dark room, I'm sure you know what that means. The next thing I knew, we were outside of the CERN building. The darkness fly out of the building began to expand in every direction. The more it spread, the faster it went, covering more and more. The Lord then said, dark matter will cover the world for 3 days. The people in this building will be responsible for unleashing dark matter. They are collecting it to use as a weapon. A drop of dark matter escapes, the world will be plunged into darkness. During this time, portals will be opened, and unimaginable things will be loosed upon man. Then he said, the Lord brought me up above the building, and I watched the darkness expand across the land. He took me up very high, and I had a view of the whole earth. I watched as the darkness spread quickly, going out in every direction until it covered the world. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's,
what's your take?
It's pretty interesting. It reminds me of some of these things that I have been shown about the darkness.
Yes.
You know, it was not normal. It was total darkness, like dark matter, which, by the way, is has been associated with the incoming object in the Nibiru system, the brown dwarf system. There is something about that causes this darkness. I don't know if it's dark matter. Could be, because it is very heavy, very, very heavy. So, yeah, that is pretty interesting, Stuart.
What do you think about the 3 days of darkness? Now, I know that's been a Roman Catholic prophecy for a long time.
I think it's real. I think it's going to happen. It happened during the Exodus, and we know that Colbrin talks about it. We know the Bible
yes.
talks about it, and we know it is not a normal darkness. It is a darkness that is not it's not the absence of light. It's a darkness that could be felt.
Yes,
and so it is. From what the Lord has shown me, this darkness, it is very, very, it is very powerful, and it sucks the life out of anything it comes in contact with, almost like some type of black hole. And from what I have experienced, that is that darkness, and. You know, during the Exodus, the Lord told Moses to tell the people that they had to stay indoors, that they were not able to go out to stay alive. And they were to, of course, place the blood of a sacrificed
yes.
ram on the doorpost and the dintel of the houses. From what I have read in these Catholic prophecies, it is pretty similar. They tell the people to stay indoors,
yes.
not to go out, to shut the windows, put black plastic over the windows, and not go out because if you go out, you die. And so this is all pretty similar. And what I was shown is this darkness that and I saw different experiences. The first one, I was told by a couple of angels that it was approaching, that great darkness was approaching. That's all they said, and great gross darkness was approaching. And then they stayed silent for a moment or two, and then they said, "There's a lot of activity taking place in heaven right now." And I don't know what that was about either. And that was it. That was it. And then that was the end of the experience. And apparently, this darkness that is coming is much more than just a lot of demonic manifestation, you know. A lot of people talk about it, and they say it's just going to be a lot of demonic manifestation, you know, when this happens, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think so. I think it's a lot more than that. There will be a lot of demonic manifestation, but it's a lot more than that. This is a darkness. The Bible says it's a darkness that could be felt, and we don't know what that means, really. What does that mean? I mean, is it dark matter? Is it something else? What is it? So, and of course, the Colbrin, he talks about it too. The Colbrin talks about it, refers to it as a terrifying darkness. Terrifying,
yes.
Darkness, which is more than just the absence of light. The absence of light is not terrifying. As a matter of fact, I like dark, you know, to sleep. And so that,
yes,
is not terrifying. This one is terrifying. So this is something else. And we just don't know what that is all about. And whatever it is life-threatening. And it could be dark matter, for like you were reading there, Stuart.
Mm-hmm. Do you suppose that the phrase in the Bible, gross darkness covers the people, is a reference and a physical manifestation? We've always thought of it as a spiritual, total absence of understanding of the Bible. But maybe it's more than that. It's kind of like the prophecies against Babylon. Get thou into darkness, which would mean electrical failure. Get thou into silence, which would mean communications have all been cut off. And it's just very, very interesting to me. Larry said you had a lady call into your show. Can you share a little bit of that as to what she had to say?
Well, she basically had a vision recently where she had to walk. The Lord showed her basically like 30 yards that, you know, it was pretty long, and she was calling from overseas, so it was breaking up. But the gist of it, the crux of it is she was shown she had to go a distance, and she said about 30 yards or so. But the path was so narrow that, you know, she basically, you know, she had to be very careful in the path, and the Lord was not able to walk next to her. He had to walk in front of her, and she had to follow him. Basically, that's how narrow this path was, very dangerous. And she said, you know, he was, you know, she said a lot of things which are basically her personal experiences and what have you. But the bottom line of that was that she was told that it has begun and there is no turning back.
Oh, really?
There is no turning back. It has begun, yeah. So, you know, from what she shared, this was a, she said that the Lord showed her it was going to be very dangerous. And it was going to be life-threatening, but that he was going to be with her, and he was
mm-hmm.
going to help her to make it through, and which is basically similar to some of the stuff I have seen. It was life-threatening. This thing I saw was life-threatening, and I saw basically. When this darkness came upon us, literally, I could see the life of the people. I could see the light, and the light of the people, which is like their spirits. I took it to
mm-hmm.
be their spirits, began to dwindle, began to you know, become very, very not very bright. It began to lose its brightness to the point where it began to flicker. And I realized that we were in danger, that our lives were in danger, our very spirits were in danger. And so at that point, we held hands, and I told the people, we need to pray, and we need to be in agreement and stand together against this. And as we began to pray, we began to worship the Lord, the darkness began to withdraw, retreat. And slowly, ever so slowly, but it began to retreat until it just left. And then after that, the scene changed, and the Lord showed me men working on the foundation of a building. And we were all working on the foundation of the building. And what I took by that, you know, the interpretation of that was that the Lord was basically saying, showing me, you all have to work on your foundation. Make sure you got your foundation is solid. Because these things that is coming, if your foundation is not solid, you won't make it.
Wow, and that sounds like Matthew. Building your house on the sand rather than on the rock.
That's right. Yeah,
wow.
It was very vivid. It was very vivid. We were working on the foundation of this huge house. And, it was very vivid, very real. But, again, it was the darkness. So, I don't know. This situation with the solar observatories is very disconcerting. And we need the amateur astronomers out there that have their telescopes and that know more about these things and have the equipment to do this type of thing to do it and to kind of inform us, because we're not going to get any answers from, it appears, from the government, from the solar observatories. We're not going to get any answers, and we're going to be left out in the dark while they probably are making their preparations. We're going to be left out in the dark without knowing anything. So we need some of those men and women, maybe there are astronomers out there that have the telescopes, have the equipment and the cameras to do some research and to do some work on this, to provide it for the remnant, so the remnant know what's really going on here. And thank God for this little woman that took that video. But that's nothing. I mean, that is not a I'm going to repeat it, and and I know it sounds repetitious, but what have these people seen through their solar telescopes? They're very powerful telescopes. What have they seen that they were terrified and shut the whole thing down, and they're covering everything up? They must have seen something that is just frightening. That's the only thing I can say.
Yeah, there'd be no other reason. And why would they be non-committal about what happened? They're just saying nothing. It was total silence about what is it. Usually they have some sort of a cover story.
Yeah. You know,
that
word darkness there, Stuart, that you mentioned in Isaiah 60, that word darkness there is the word shoshek, which is... It literally means destruction. It means dark. It means darkness. It means also obscurity, wickedness. You know, all of the above. That is the same word, by the way, that is used in Genesis when the Spirit of the Lord was hovering.
Yes.
And it says, darkness cover the earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's that same word, shoshek.
Well, I wonder when that's going to occur. Did this lady have any idea when any of these this sort of thing would occur as to what's going on around us?
No, she did not mention that. She did mention some numbers. I think Larry had something on that. She mentioned the only thing that I can see that maybe has any meaning as far as that is concerned is the 30 yards. And she mentioned some other number, didn't she, Larry?
She mentioned 10, a very important number, because that's a number of testimony, and it talks about Romans where, you know, and I read that on the show today, where everything, there's nothing out there can take you from the grasp of the Creator, basically. I was going to ask you, Augusto, because you brought up Isaiah 60. I was thinking of that when you guys were talking about this great darkness, the gross darkness. And I wanted to ask you, Augusto, what do you think Isaiah 60, when it talks about, it appears it's simultaneous, that at the same time as the darkness comes down, this gross darkness, at the same time it appears in Isaiah 60 that the light rises within God's people. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, it's actually the word he uses there is, his glory shall be seen upon you. And that is the, you know, that glory actually, is the word kabod. That is very curious, very interesting that it happens simultaneously. And, I had a very strange experience and a few years ago, and it was very strange, but basically what I experienced was I heard a voice, right? I heard a voice in the middle of a night. It started when I was still asleep, basically, this voice spoke very loudly. It woke me up. It was so loud, it woke me up. And it was the voice, of course, the voice, either the voice of the Lord or the voice of an angel, or the angel of the Lord. And I believe it was the voice of the Lord. And basically what this voice said was, at 12 midnight, the inner glory shall be revealed. And that was it. I woke up. It was so loud. It woke me up. And 12 midnight, of course, is very, very dark part of the night. And it is always referred to in the scriptures as a very dark time, right? In the parable of the 10 virgins, it talks about at midnight. Right?
Yep.
And
yep.
It talks about the door opened, right? And the five wise ones went through the door, and the five foolish ones did not. And that word door there in the scripture is like a portal. Basically, it's what that means. It's a portal opened, and they went through. And that has something to do, I believe, that glory there. And back to your question, Larry, that the glory, it says, the Lord shall arise upon you. And that is another very interesting expression there, that the Lord shall arise upon thee. That word there, if you look at it, is the word that word shall arise is the word zarak in the Hebrew, which means it's a very primitive root, by the way. It's a very, very old root that what it means really is to irradiate, okay? Irradiate, to shoot forth beams. Shoot forth beams to rise like the sun. And, so that is a very, very interesting expression there, irradiate. What does that mean, irradiate? Because that where there's a rack or sarach, I think it's a rack, that is a very primitive Hebrew root, which means to irradiate. You know, when you irradiate someone, what it is, you basically impregnate them, right? You basically irradiate them, you know, like radiation, right? You radiate them mm-hmm. with like the sun, you know, like radiation from the sun, right? And that is a very, very, you know, and then he says, like, to shoot forth beams. So it says, like, the Lord, right? The Lord, mm-hmm. Jehovah, shall shoot forth, rise upon his people, upon thee. And his glory, his kabod, which is basically the weighty, you know, that kabod is not just the presence of God. That is like the weighty glory of God, which, again, we were talking about dark matter.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen people that fall down under this kabod, and you cannot lift them up. They are like nailed to the floor. They are like, if you try to lift these people up, they weigh like a man, you know, that weighs like 300 pounds. It's incredible heavy, and they're just there laying on the floor, and they are under this kabod, which is actually means weightiness, right? The glory, the weighty. This is not just the presence of the Lord or the anointing that people feel. This is different. This is the kabod, which, again, we go back to that dark matter. You know, it's very, very heavy. That matter is very, very heavy.
Yeah.
And the glory, it's not the dark matter, but, you know, we're talking about things that we just don't understand. We just don't know anything about these things. But we do know that this glory, this kabod, it means weighty. It's weightiness. It's very weighty. It means, actually, it means weight, and in a good sense. And mm-hmm. and so it says that when the Lord, when this happens, when gross darkness, okay, when gross darkness covers the earth, okay, it says gross darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. So in other words, this gross darkness is going to cover us. We're going to be covered by this thing, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And when it covers us, it says when it covers us, I don't know, maybe we should not be afraid of this thing. Maybe we need not be afraid of it. Because it says here that when we are covered by this darkness, right, the Lord, Jehovah, Elohim, shall arise upon us, which means shall shoot forth beams, irradiate us, okay? And then his glory shall be seen upon us. So he's going to do, something is going to happen with this darkness. And I have never talked about this, so this is a revelation coming from the Lord right now, because I have never really spoken on this like this, in this manner. This darkness, darkness that is, you know, gross darkness, this, you know, and by the way, that second word, gross darkness there, which is different than the first darkness there, it says, behold the darkness. That first darkness there, the word darkness there is Shoshek. But the second one is different. It's not that one. It's Arafel, which interestingly means gross, thick darkness, like cloud. I have never read that one before. Like a thick, dark cloud darkness. And so when this darkness covers the earth, this gross darkness, okay, is going to cover his people. And Jehovah is going to arise. He's going to shoot forth and radiate his people. And his people are going to basically, seeing that they're going to receive this glory, this kabod upon them. So this could be the transfiguration. This could very well be the transformation that we have talked about many times,
yeah,
alluded to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This could be
Well, I was just going to mention, guys, recently they went into the cave where Jesus' body was resurrected, and they tested it with instruments, and they found out the inside of that cave, everything had been radiated inside that cave. Isn't that
interesting? Wow.
It sounds almost
that's
like the taking of the bride, the taking of the church. And if, shooting out beams of light, lightning or beams of light, there's a fellow that did a lot of work. And remember, Jesus said that Satan fell as lightning, but the twinkling of an eye of the taking of the church. And in the New Testament, it says there is a manifestation of the sons of God, which would be the glory. That's fascinating.
Well, in that same scripture there in chapter 60, okay, of course, he talks about, that the king shall come to the brightness of your eyes and so forth. But in verse 8, look what he says. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows?
Yeah. Huh.
Where did that come from? Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their window? Yeah.
What would, when you look at what the Bible does say, he does not want any to repent. He wants them all to come to repentance. Then if there is a removal of the church, I would think it would have to be fully visible and would shake up the entire planet. What do you think, guys?
Well, you know what? Let me amplify this word here because this is getting pretty interesting. I was not expecting to get into this. I mean, we're almost out of time, but you know that verse 8 there? This is, again, from another very primitive root. And you know what it means, guys? Is the word, that word fly there is the word oof in the Hebrew. And it's a very primitive root. And you know what it means in the original text? It means to cover, like with wings or obscurity. And it says to faint, as to faint from the darkness of swooning.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, it means to faint, flee away, shine forth. Yeah. I was not aware. And then as a cloud, that word there, as a cloud, there is the word ab, which also means like a cloud, like a thick cloud. And so basically, that is a very strange verse there. I really had not seen that verse before until tonight. I may have read it, but I had not seen it with the eyes of the Spirit. And that word there, fly, could very well be, that this darkness, when this darkness comes upon his people, on the people of Yahuwah, it's going to, of course, radiate his people, and is going to basically cause a faintness, cause the people to feel faint, which is basically what I felt in that experience I had. I felt like I was fainting. I felt like I was fainting. And it says, cause the people to faint. And then it says here, by implication of dimness. Remember when I said that I saw like the lights were dimming?
Yes.
Well, it says here, like, by implication of dimness, to faint from the darkness of swooning, to flee away.
It's interesting you use the term dimming, because I was just reading an article that the sun is dimming considerably, actually. Doesn't appear that way when you look at it, but scientifically they claim it's dimming in brightness. It's kind
of
interesting.
Interesting, guys.
Okay, we got
very, very interesting scripture
this is
here.
Set up for an hour and a half. I don't know if you guys can stay on, but I set it up for 60 minutes, but it's evidently going to go an hour and a half. So we got 29 minutes left. Where do you want to go? Shall we continue on this one?
Too, to what he's talking about. Also, he was talking about the clouds and all. Isn't it interesting how when Jesus went up, he went up into the clouds. The clouds hid him. They lost sight of him in the cloud.
That's right.
Yes. And I've often found it very, very interesting that when you go to the movies and you're dealing in UFOs, there's always clouds. These material objects come out of the clouds, but you always see a cloud first.
Right.
I've often
felt, right.
Yeah. So,
well,
I don't
it's,
know.
Go
ahead.
Yeah, this is a very strange scripture. I had not seen it before, to be honest with you. When Larry mentioned that, I'm sure he was inspired. And I read that, chapter 60, verse 2. That started connecting everything. And that is very, very, very interesting, very interesting. Because and by the way, that third verse there, verse 3, he says, and the Gentiles shall come to your light there, and to and the kings, but then he says, and to the brightness of your rising. And that brightness there is another very strange word in the Hebrew, which it literally means brilliance. And shining, and also, you know, that next one there, the rising. So this is talking about the rising of this, you know, when this darkness appears to cover the earth, gross darkness, apparently it's going to cover us too. It's going to cover God's people. We're going to be covered in that darkness. It says so there, and gross darkness the people. He says, but the Lord, Yahuwah, shall irradiate and shoot forth beams upon thee. And his glory, go ahead, Stuart.
I was just wondering, would the 3 days of darkness then be a warning to the entire world? And then out of that comes the Christians in their theoretical glory that they're supposed to have. Of course, we've lost almost all of that now. But, you know, that maybe that's what it is. And remember, Jesus said something about the day star rising in your heart, when the day star arises in your heart.
Well, the other thing that happened in Egypt, if you guys remember in Exodus, when that happened, remember when the darkness came, over the land. Remember who were the ones that were killed? It was the firstborn, or the first fruits.
Oh, that's right.
And the first fruits, the firstborn. And, you know, we in the Bible, if you look at then the book of Revelation, that group of people that are basically removed, sealed, and then they follow the Lamb, right, and on the Mount Zion and all that, they are called and referred to as the first fruits also.
That's right. What do you think, Larry?
Oh, it makes it begin to piece together kind of a picture of something coming. Really interesting.
Well, I don't, you know,
yeah.
With the we're at the 70th year of Israel from 1947 or 48, and we've got the 50th year from 67 in the Six-Day War. We've got all these timelines that are coming to a close, basically. So it would appear to me that if there is a pre-trib rapture, and a lot of people think there is, or at-trib rapture, I don't know how you put that together necessarily. I believe that the church, and I'd like your take on this, Augusto, but it appears to me that the church does not have a lot to do with Daniel's last week, because that's all about Jerusalem and Israel and the Israelites. And they have to go through that because they rejected Jesus Christ. That's their atonement for it, which is, of course, why you have the Jewish feast from trumpets. You got the 10 days of repentance, and then you get into atonement. Speaking about the 10 days of awe, have you seen anything about repentance with Florence? Has there been even a mention of it?
Well, regarding your first question, you know, there are in the Jewish culture, there are, of course, the harvests, and then you have
yes.
the barley harvest. And then after the barley harvest comes first, because the
mm-hmm.
barley matures, you know, quicker before the wheat. So the barley harvest comes first. Then comes the wheat harvest after that. The wheat harvest, if you've seen how they harvest the wheat, they go through that whole process where the wheat really has to be, you know, broken and then
mm-hmm.
thrown into the air and sifted, and the chaff separated from the kernel. And so that is a little different to the barley. And the barley is a type of the first fruits.
Yes.
And I believe that the rapture, like you know, people have been taught, and again, this is me, this is my take, and a lot of people disagree with it, and that's fine. But my take is, according to what I've seen, and you know that first, if you will, that first train, that first evacuation is everybody's not going to go in it. Everybody's not
yes.
going to go in it. And those that need a lot of more sifting and, you know, are not going to make that. Are not going to make that. And, you know, the worldly Christians, the Christians that are, you know, are not into the Lord. They really, they go to church and all that, but they really don't love him that much. Those are like the foolish virgins. And so I don't agree with the general premise that the rapture, every Christian is going on that rapture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the way the Bible talks about it. I do believe there's going to be a rapture, and I do believe there's going to be a first fruits rapture. But I do also believe that there's going to be the majority, I believe, are going to, which is the wheat, they're not ready. They have not matured. They're not mature yet to be harvested. And so they have to go through a process of sifting and all that stuff. And, you know, that could be where the Bible talks about, you know, the people that were martyred and all that stuff. So, again, I don't know. I don't have this all down pat. I don't think anybody does. There is no way you can prove this thing one way or the other.
That's
but
right.
I do believe that there's going to be an evacuation of those that are ready. And, you know, those that are ready. Yeah, because that's what the Bible says, right? Isn't that what he says in the parable of the 10 virgins?
Yes,
the virgins that were ready.
Yep.
It says the virgins that were ready, right? That is the word. And, you know, and we could do a study on that, you know, what does that mean, those that were ready? But it says that they that were ready went in.
Mm-hmm.
And those that were not ready did not. And so maybe that is what that's talking about. And it talks about, and by the way, that's in Matthew 22. And it says that the wedding is ready. And then it talks about, you know, the master told his servants, you know, go and, you know, invite the people, you know, and anyone that wants to come. And then there are also in Matthew 25, it talks about also the those that were ready, and they that were ready is the exact expression. They that were ready, Matthew 25:10, he says, and that were there, let me see if I can get anything here. That they that were ready, that were there ready is hetoimos, which means prepared and ready. So there's nothing there new. It's just those that were ready, those who were prepared. They went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And that word door there is, you know, that is the word thura, which means it's like a doorway. It's a portal, an entrance, an opening, or closure.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the vision of that door, Larry, with the harvest. And, I mean, maybe you want to share a little bit about that. But that was, didn't you see some darkness on the other side of the door and a lot of stuff going on there?
Oh, yeah. I actually saw massive dark storm clouds rising in the distance as there began to be an outpouring of the wheat through the door into the garner or the protected facility. Very, very interesting. And one thing, too, Augusto, you did something really interesting. You had a concept you talked about during the show we did earlier today, and I told Stuart about that, how that you were watching very closely comparing the days of awe that we're experiencing at the moment also with the days of repentance, and watching closely with Florence and all of this around us going on and all the troubles that we've got. And you were putting a concept together there and saying that you felt like this time frame we're in right now was very, very important, the days of awe and the days of repentance, which are basically the same thing. Can you share on that?
Yeah, sure. Actually, the dates of awe, the days of awe, is the time frame from the Feast of Trumpets to Yom Kippur, to the Day of Atonement. It's 10 days. And these 10 days were considered by the Jewish scholars, and, you know, they have taught this for a long time, that this was a time of repentance. This was a time to make it right, because this was a time when in the courts of heaven, and of course you both believe that, you know, in the courts of heaven that there's a court, and the books are open and all that stuff, and there are books in heaven. And so during this time is a time when there's a lot of activity in heaven, recording things that people are doing. And if they are making contrition, if the people are repenting, if the people are, doing works of repentance, which that's another thing that a lot of people do not understand, and that is when people repent, there is that act of repentance when people repent and ask God to forgive them. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, we are washed. But there's also works of repentance, which John the Baptist talked about, which is, you know, he told them, bring fruits of repentance. In other words, bring me some fruit that you have repented. Let me see some fruit from that repentance. And so I believe that there are, you know, fruit of repentance. There is manifestation that manifests to the world and to the Lord first that people have repented. A changed lifestyle, maybe an act of contrition, and, you know, all of these things. But while this is happening, I do in the teachings of the, you know, of rabbinical teachings, they say that in heaven, these things are being recorded. And depending on what people do during these 10 days of awe, their names are inscribed there in the books, in the Book of Life and the other books, or not. And this is the time that the Lord allows for the, you know, for those that are making a decision. In other words, the groups are broken down into three. Okay, the righteous, the wicked, and those that are in the middle. And so the righteous, of course, they're righteous already. They're already inscribed in the book. The wicked, they're not written in the book. They're bad. They're evil. But then there's that in between, okay, between the two. They're not righteous. They're not perfectly righteous, and they're not really wicked. They're just not where they need to be. And this group of people, during these 10 days of awe, they have to, you know, repent. And this is where the decision is made. And you know, throughout history, this is the time when in the courts of heaven, the decisions are made. The decisions are made if this person is, you know, has made a repentance, has acts of repentance, contrition, or this person does not, is going to continue in wickedness. So I do believe this is a very important time and season. And I have always I like to fast and pray during this time. I know a lot of other Christians fast and pray during the beginning of the Gregorian year, but to me, this time of and season of the year is extremely important, because to the Lord, to the Most High, you know, this time of year is extremely important because of that, because these things are happening. The decisions are being made in heaven. The decisions are being made in heaven probably right now as to what is going to happen here in the U.S. If the people are going to back up President Trump or not, if the people are going to continue to act wicked, I mean, there's a lot of stuff riding on this. And so with all of these other things happening right now, with the solar observatories and things like that, I think this is very, very interesting. And the other thing is that on the 20th of this month, which, by the way, is that time of the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur is actually on the 19th. So on the 20th is when that test is going to be done, that emergency test.
Yes.
Right? On the 20th? That's right after the Day of Atonement, right after Yom Kippur, right after the 10 days of awe. So,
yeah, Tabernacles is on the 23rd, if they've got the dates right. There's a little bit of bother because the Book of Enoch says we are off on our timing. So I guess, I don't know. I mean, we've got from 1897... We know what the moons were. We know all of that. So maybe that straightens that out. But, yeah, we're coming up on some rough times. What do you think about Florence?
Well, Florence it was downgraded from a Cat 4 to a Cat 2, and we prayed about that because if it would have hit North Carolina, South Carolina as a Cat 4, or bigger, they said it was intensifying. it would have been horrific.
Mm-hmm.
So we were praying, and a lot of people were praying, and it went down. It went down two levels to Cat 2.
Yeah.
And when it hit land, it was Cat 1. So, you know, it did some damage, but it could have been way, way worse. And, you know, yeah, people are going to have a bad time. They're going to be homeless and flooded homes and water and all that. But, I mean, the destruction that could have taken place, if it would have been a Cat 4 or 5, it would have been catastrophic. So thank God for that.
Yeah, and there's just a lot going on. I want to get into a couple. We still got a little bit of time left here. I just want your take on it. It seems like Israel is... first of all, watch as thousands of camouflaged men armed with assault rifles cross over from Mexico into Arizona. And they got a video of it. Some, I don't know if it was a rancher or who it was, but they're fully in military garb, carrying assault rifles and backpacks, openly coming right across the border in broad daylight. Nobody's stopping them. What would you make of that?
Well, it looks like they're being told to come in. I think the deep state is very, very, very busy. You know, when they did that John McCain funeral,
yes,
all these big wigs, they got together. They took that as an opportunity to get together there and conspire against President Trump what to do. And make plans. And I don't know if you caught that, Stuart, but I share this with Larry, that, you know, Lindsey Graham was there, and Uma Abedin went to see him and hugged him and everything. And throughout that whole episode, General Mattis and John Kelly were watching him like a hawk. And, I mean, Kelly didn't take his eyes off of him for a second. He was just staring him down. And after that whole episode, Lindsey Graham was, shifting around like a cat on a hot tin roof. He didn't know what to do. And eventually he looked in Kelly's direction, and John Kelly reached with his arm, with his hand and his finger, and he kind of like scratched, his eye. Like, I couldn't see because he had his back turned, but I think what he did was he pointed his finger in his eye like he was scratching, like saying, "I am watching you. I saw what you did. I saw everything." And because some papers were exchanged, messages were exchanged. I mean, these people are in sedition. This is treason.
Yes.
And so, who knows? Maybe these people crossing the border, they have been told, okay, now is the time. Come on down, or come on up.
Yeah, and that would mean invasion pretty soon. What an invasion of America would be another form of judgment. And there are rumbles about the global economic collapse coming very soon. Reset, I guess, is what they call it. And then we have, the solar observatories. We have flooding. We have earthquakes. I just read an article, I'm sure Larry probably saw it, about Iceland. There's a couple of volcanoes up there that are beginning to rumble again. Etna is... flashing off one more time. So it seems like the earth changes, and the disquieting in the core is now finally reaching the surface of the earth. And I think we're in for a lot of trouble. We're at the end of the 70th year and all of that. So if it means anything, and what's also interesting, Augusto, is that for the most part, all of those signs that we saw in the heavens, the lunar eclipses, supermoons and et cetera, et cetera, all falling on key feast days, all of a sudden stops. There aren't any more for a while.
Yeah.
It's almost like the Lord put a punctuation point or an exclamation point and said, okay, this is it. If you can't figure this one out, you never will figure anything out.
Yeah,
I think
President Trump is the last Trump. That's the last
mm-hmm.
chance. And there's nothing else after this. And if he survives this, and there's a chance he might, there's a chance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
If he survives this, we may have a little more time. But if he does not survive this, if these people, I mean, these people are so vicious that even their own Democrats are saying that they are just, I mean, they have hit a new low, that they, it's just, this is despicable. Even the liberal justice in the Supreme Court, what's her name, Ginsburg,
mm-hmm.
made a comment recently that what they did to Kavanaugh, she said, is despicable.
Yeah.
That she says, this is not the way I'm used to seeing this. This is not right.
Yeah,
and
they're going overboard.
When you see this kind of stuff, the comments coming from their own people, you know they have hit a new low. And so they are hell-bent on removing the President Trump. And if they go far enough and they do it by force, I believe there's going to be severe judgments. I believe Putin is waiting.
Mm-hmm.
President Putin is waiting to see what happens. If President Trump survives, you know, good. But if he doesn't survive, I believe he's ready to attack this country. I really believe that. And China
yeah.
and Iran and so forth.
Well, it's kind of interesting that the deep state has gone to such depths. But does this indicate, because they are still not making much headway, and they say Trump has signed a few executive orders that may, you know, forge arrest warrants for these people, would they resort to a nuclear false flag or some severe false flag to throw off everybody and stop the investigations, et cetera, et cetera? Seems to me deep state has infiltrated not only Washington, but a lot of the state governments and local governments. It's almost impossible to dislodge them.
Yeah, it's like they got so many tentacles. We have seen how they control Google, Facebook, the mainstream media, Hollywood. I mean, I really believe also that they control this the HARP, this
mm-hmm.
scalar technology. I believe they are still in control of that. I believe they are maneuvering these hurricanes and everything. These people, don't you believe, Stuart and Larry, that these people have the technology to stop these hurricanes if they wanted to?
Or
of course they do.
Yeah. Larry.
Yeah.
One final word. We got two minutes left.
I just going to mention that I saw where the Rothschilds are wanting Syria, and that's part of the push, take it away from the others. And they're wanting Trump to move from the Rothschilds to take Syria away from China, Iran, and Russia. And that's going to
mm-hmm.
put us in a fix. So we'll just see whether Trump can stand against this or if we're going into World War III.
What do you think? Augusto, I think
yeah,
World War III.
Yeah, I think it's 50-50 right now. I really believe that it's 50-50. Trump is he's trying his best. The Lord still has him covered. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
God, you know, the Lord has him covered. The Lord is protecting him. But these people are so wicked and so evil that they, like you said, they may resort to something else, start a war. They have tried before. They have tried to start a war.
Yes.
But I don't know. It could be. I don't know. We can only do so much with prayer.
Yeah.
And that's all we can do.
Yeah.
So,
how do people reach your website, I guess, so before we close out?
Sure. It's theappearance.com.
Theappearance.com. Sounds great.
Thank you much for inviting me, Stuart and Larry. Appreciate it.
Oh, no problem at all. It was a great discussion. And thank you, Larry, for coming on. Thank you, Augusto. And I guess we're coming up at the end of it. Thank everyone for listening. And the Lord willing, we'll see you again next week. If something breaks, we'll certainly do an emergency update. Anyway, good night.